When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome back to Car Stuff. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Ben Bolin.
And I'm Scott Benjamin.
Yes, Scott. We're back. We're the Car Stuff guys ride again, and this time we're going to talk about something that might be a little nostalgic for some people.
I think definitely nostalgic. I think a lot of people have had this type of vehicle in their past.
Yes, and for everyone who somehow didn't see the title of our podcast.
Yeah, I always assume that people have read the title before they click on it, but sometimes that maybe doesn't happen. It's about pedal cars.
Yes, it's about pedal cars. Now, we earlier did an episode on pedal-powered vehicles.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, and pedal cars themselves are interesting enough to warrant their own episode.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about here this time, because last time we talked about human-powered vehicles, and we were talking about, like,
everything.
I think there was something called the Earth Day car, where there were, like, 4 adults would sit on it, and then didn't they pedal, or did they row? I can't remember which.
Yeah.
But we're talking about, like, this time, more like the classic pedal cars that kids would use.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get into some other stuff, but
yeah.
Mostly this is talking about the kiddie car version.
Now, let's start with maybe a little personal information here. Were you one of those lucky kids, Scott?
Oh, you know I was, Ben.
I know. We talked about it off air.
Yeah, you know I would have to have something like this, right?
You're so lucky, man.
Oh, lucky. Well, you said you had access to one.
I had access to one. I'm still bitter about it.
A friend's vehicle, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you know how it is sometimes when you have friends as a kid who have the toys that you want. I'm sure for a lot of people, now that you and I are like old fogies, mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people have experience where their friends have a video game that they want or a video game system.
Yeah.
Well, back in the days of yore, when I was growing up, one of our family friends' kids had a pedal car.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of diplomacy involved over whether or not I could get it. And I never actually owned a pedal car myself.
Got it.
Don't worry, everyone. I turned out okay.
Barely.
Yeah, barely. Yeah. Just barely. Yeah. Hey, but what about you?
I had, if you want to look up the model I had an AMF Jet Sweep. And it was sold by, I think it was Sears who sold those, but I don't remember when I got it or where it came from, if it was used in the past or not, you know, if it was mm-hmm. a hand-me-down from some other family member or something. I just don't remember. I can't place it being under the Christmas tree with a big red bow on it or something. But I know I had it, and I then passed it on to my brothers, my younger brothers. But it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Mine was blue, had, you know, the white wheels with the red centers, and just very, very basic. Really nothing special about it. It was, other than it was just a cool car to have.
Yeah.
All metal seat. It didn't have any kind of padding or anything like that. It had a black steering wheel and the typical controls. Just really a just bare bones pedal car.
Were you one of those budding stunt drivers?
It was metal. And it could take a lot of abuse, I'll tell you that. And it did take a lot of abuse because, you know, it went down stairs, it went down hills. You know, I probably skinned my knees, you know, with the pedals whirling away inside with my feet off of them.
Because once you pick up speed, you got to take your feet off.
Yeah, and I'm sure later on this evolved into, you know, towing people with bicycles and things like that.
Oh, cool.
So I know that the thing took a lot of abuse. I don't know where it ended up. I don't know if it's still in my parents' basement or what, but I doubt it. I think it probably went on to, you know, it was a donation item, or maybe it was sold at a garage sale.
Something like that. Well, hopefully there's still a kid out there right now enjoying it.
I hope so.
In the best of all possible worlds. What's interesting about this story, don't get me wrong, the whole story is interesting, but one thing that particularly catches me is that you say it might be a hand-me-down, because something that may be intriguing to our listeners is that pedal cars are actually very old tradition.
Yes, they are. Nearly as old as the automobile.
Yeah, true story, you guys. When the very first, let's see, when Benz, right? When Benz comes out with his vehicle.
Yeah, like, so we're talking like what, 1896, something like that?
Late 19th century.
Yeah, very, very late 19th century. But it pretty much matches when, you know, Henry Ford is messing around with his quadricycle on his on his kitchen table, and you know, his internal combustion engine.
Yeah.
And when Benz was developing his vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, they go back that far, and you know, the recumbent bikes that these things kind of are similar to, that kind of gives you a picture of what Ford's Model T, or not his Model T rather, but his quadricycle looked like. It was a lot like a recumbent bike almost.
Yeah.
Similar in many ways. And you know, little differences here and there, but that's kind of where all this comes from is, you know, like these four-wheel bicycles that people kind of stretch out on.
Yeah. Carl Benz, the patent Motorwagen.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
that's what I was forgetting.
Very good.
Three-wheel vehicle, too. And we'll get into some more stuff about this. But, yes, when the pedal cars come out, it is closely aligned with the emergence of actual cars.
Which makes sense, because, I mean, why would they call it something new? I mean, would they call it pedal carriages, or what would they call it? Because these recumbent bikes, you know, bicycles were wildly popular
at
the time, you know, and, you know, just the safety bikes, I think, were just then coming out, the ones that had the same wheels, the same size wheels,
right,
remember?
Cause
the other ones were those goofy ones that had
the gigantic front wheel.
Yeah.
And the back wheel for steering.
Those always make me laugh when I see
them. Did you ever try to ride one?
I have not. Have you?
I got a chance to, I got a chance to try to ride one.
You did?
Yes. To my unending shame, I was a kid. You know, and this wasn't one of the original models. This was a replica.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm about to tell you is okay. I didn't destroy history.
Got it. Okay.
But I did really screw up that bike because the balance is a little different. I was short. I'm still short, but I was a tiny little tyke. Mm-hmm. To me, I may as well have been on an elephant.
Yeah.
You know, because it seems so much higher up than the little bike I was used to.
Yeah.
And so trying to steer, was my downfall, my literal downfall.
Because you're moving your whole body, really.
Yeah, and I
did you hurt yourself?
yeah, well, I got skinned knee or skinned elbow, I think. But when I fell, the main problem was that the front wheel was deformed on the rock against. So so I'm all about the safety bike.
Yeah, which is funny to say because, you know, I mean, really – that's all we've ever dealt with, really, in our lifetime.
Right.
The safety bike. The bikes with the same size wheels front and back.
Yeah, now I can see why.
And, you know, the quadricycle, I think, had similar setup. And, you know, the recumbent bikes of the day, believe it or not, recumbent bikes go back to, you know, like the 1920s, 1930s.
Right, yeah.
And racing. And they were actually outlawed at one point, I think, from racing because they had such an advantage. People made fun of, you know, the racers that initially showed up with a recumbent bike.
Sure. Yeah.
And they said, "Oh, come on, this is never going to work. You know, you're getting lazy laying down to cycle." And
this guy wants to nap and bike at the same time.
Blew away the competition. I mean, absolutely blew them away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they weren't laughing for too long. But it goes back to the 1930s, or not even earlier, 1920s, 1930s. But there's a vehicle called a velocar.
Yes.
Now, velo means bicycle in Dutch, and so the velo car, it's not hard to figure out what this means. It's basically a recumbent bike with a body built around it. And a somewhat streamlined body, but not what we think of as streamlined today. This is more, wooden coach work almost. That, nearly upright, but not quite. Your legs are out in front of you, but that's about it.
Yeah, this and these, of course, these things are very low to the ground. Mm-hmm. And these vehicles, while they may seem out of place, right, on an average American Main Street.
Yeah, and they are.
And they are. They're actually were quite popular.
At one point they were, yeah. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a good decade or more where this French manufacturer, actually I think they called them the Velocar, manufactured these things, and they were really popular because it's a simple way to get around town. Didn't have this, you know, new internal combustion engine technology going on for them. And you mentioned, Ben, that there were even some that had electric assist. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a modern-day story we've got.
Oh, modern. I was thinking this is the older version.
Oh, no. This is a newer one. This is a guy who's still using it. It's a neat little aside. There is a there's an article from Gizmodo, I believe, The Real Deal on Owning a Velomobile. Hmm. And this is actually covering both the Baus Go 1 and the owner of this particular vehicle. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is a three-wheel design, and the guy who is using it does mention that it has some similarities to a recumbent bike. It's pedal power, but it has an electrical assistance there, and it goes around 25 miles per hour, which is no small potatoes when you consider what kind of vehicle it is.
That's not bad.
And it's pedal powered, so.
Not bad. That would frustrate me in traffic, I think.
I think it would be frustrating in traffic. I don't believe it's the kind of thing that you would want to take out on a lot of city streets here in Atlanta.
This seems like an exhibition vehicle or possibly like something just around the neighborhood or maybe a track. It's just, it looks like a kind of like a for exercise type, you know.
It really does.
Vehicle.
It really does.
And you mentioned that he commutes in it.
He does. He commutes in this vehicle. He says it's about a 20-minute ride from his house. And he's based in Canada. And he says that this vehicle for him is a commuter vehicle. It's not recreational. And he can also feel a little bit safer because of the aerodynamics and the electric assist.
Sure, and you've got a body around you, so if it's raining or something like that, you don't have to worry about getting your business clothes wet or your laptop or whatever you're carrying with you.
Right, and he does commute in his business clothes.
Okay.
Good call.
All right, so this is a modern version of a, what do you call it, a Velomobile?
Yeah.
Is what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Velocar was the French manufacturer from the 30s or 40s. So Velocar, I don't know if there's a patent or whatever, probably. But, you know, early on, Ben, the smaller versions of these, the ones that, you know, we're talking about really today are like the true pedal cars.
Oh, yeah. They're like miniature models of grown-up cars.
Exactly. And they started out being made by manufacturers of you know, automobiles that were, you know, very well built. I mean, you're talking about like, you know, the Rolls Royce or the Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were really, really well built vehicles. They were kind of a rich kid's toy for a point.
Yeah, because this was something that the average kid, the average income for family was probably not able to absorb this sort of cost.
No, unless you built one on your own, which was completely possible. That was very, very easy to do because if you look at the very early pedal cars, you're looking at cars that have extremely thin, you know, baby buggy wheels. In fact, the first pedal cars did have baby buggy wheels. The guy that, you know, kind of made his fortune doing that.
Yeah.
He went into business with a guy that had done, was a toy maker. And I think the guy's name, I've got it written down here or something. It's like Garton, I think is the guy's name, who made toys. And he had been doing that since like the 1870s. So they kind of paired up and made these new pedal cars based on the automobiles that they saw on the road. And, again, it was a rich kid's toy at first. Eventually, you know, it became kind of a common thing for kids to have. I mean, in the 1950s, a lot of children had pedal cars, and that was like a big item to receive on Christmas morning.
And one of the reasons, of course, the implied question here is, well, Scott and Ben, how did it go from being kind of a higher end toy to being something that many more children could, or their families rather, could afford? And the answer, of course, is one of the same things that we see with the emergence of the Model Ford, which is the assembly line, the scalable production of the industry lowered the price. And, you know, thank goodness. I want to go on record saying I don't resent anybody, yourself included, my friend, mm-hmm. who was lucky enough to have a pedal car and enterprising enough to build one. I think that's a really interesting point here because we talked about how they have thinner bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And when they get to the mass production, a lot of these are steel at the times.
Yeah.
So they have steel sheet bodies. Their steering systems are open and the bottoms are open. Of course, anybody who's been in one notices that. One kid that I think is my second cousin. Big family. One of these kids told me that it reminds him of a Flintstone car.
Yeah, because you could stick your feet out of the bottom and propel it that way if you wanted to. Of course, your shins are going to knock against the pedals, and there's a lot happening inside there.
Yeah.
It's just, most are very, very, very simple. Just a steering wheel, pedals, mm-hmm. and a metal seat, and that's about it. I want to talk later mm-hmm. about some of the modern versions.
Okay.
But yeah, we will get into some of those. There's some fantastic ones out there. There are a lot of variations, Ben, on the pedal car theme as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are tractors. I remember pedaling around in a tractor. I don't know whose it was or where it was. I don't remember exactly, but a tractor, which is even easier, I think. It's a big tractor body, very upright, very tall
right.
and thin.
They're dump trucks.
Had big wheels in the back, and it had, you're pedaling right at the front wheel, those little tiny wheels. So that was a different scenario. You mentioned dump trucks. And
oh, yeah.
Like
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. I got excited when we were talking about how many different variations there are because it's strange to think that when these really hit their heyday and they were the must-have toy, they were mm-hmm. – they were like Elmo before Elmo was the go-to Christmas present, that car manufacturers were making some pretty good money by producing these. Let's see, one group called them the Butler Brothers, called them juvenile steel automobiles.
Oh, cool. There were models that were meant to mirror real models that you could buy on the road, too, because there's the Kittilac. There's one that, looked like the jet sweep that I had. And if you looked it up, it was very, very square, very boxy, mm-hmm. very nondescript vehicle, right? I mean,
right.
It did look like the cars of the late 60s, maybe. Really squared off, like almost like a Ford Galaxy type body where it's really, really square, okay?
It did, yeah, it does.
And, but they would, they'd paint it a special color and they'd put a decal on the side that said, or paint on the side rather, that would say like Camaro. And that mm-hmm. means that, you've got a Camaro and they would charge maybe a dollar or two more. Because these things were, they're very low cost at the time. I mean, probably a relatively expensive toy. But mm-hmm. looking back now, when you see what the prices were, it's kind of maddening because of what they cost now.
Yeah,
for collectors.
Bananas.
But, maybe $20, something like that, $25. Sure. That's kind of expensive back then. But, now you're looking at prices that, are in the hundreds of dollars. And you can even buy pedal car kits that you have to assemble yourself. Completely from nothing. They'll
right.
send you a kit with just the basics, wood or metal. You're talking like $200 or $300, but that's just the tip of the iceberg compared to the ones we're going to talk about later in the podcast.
Yes. I do want to take a sidebar real quick and say that to confirm the point, there were electric motor pedal cars, electric assists. Yeah, the UK's Lines Brothers, mm-hmm. They had, I think in the late 1930s, they had a range of pedal cars. So they had one which was called the Prince, and that's, for 4 years old and younger. And then their top of the line, the Electric Rolls. Wooden body, 12-volt electric motor.
Oh, man. How cool would that be to find one of those today?
How cool would it be to find one today or to get one in 1939?
Yeah,
that'd
really.
Be amazing.
Yeah, either way, yeah. But, we'd mentioned different types. There were tractors. You mentioned, dump trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's construction equipment. There were airplanes. There were trains.
Yeah.
Just about anything
the
that
Red
you could
Baron
imagine.
Model.
All of the – yeah, exactly. All of these vehicles, that mirrored – larger vehicles that kids wanted to drive or wanted to look at, wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have it in this miniature form and, drive it around the neighborhood or whatever they wanted to do, drive down the nearest hill,
mm-hmm.
anything. It was
mm-hmm.
fun, a lot of good fun. And what's funny is that, we're talking about kids only, but these have recently become popular with collectors.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the collectors are often, you know, guys my age and your age or older that kind of want to, you know, maybe hang on to these things as mementos of, you know, their childhood. Or just because, you know, they're into hot rods now, I'm going to get a pedal car and make it into a hot rod. Or maybe I'm going to buy a hot rod already, you know, a collector car that, or rather a pedal car that is a hot rod, and I'm just going to hang it up on the wall of my office.
Yeah, it can be memorabilia, it can be an art piece, but also, I can't remember where I was reading it, and I'll have to apologize to this collector. I saw a great website for auctions of pedal cars.
Ooh.
And somebody said, I started collecting these because the storage space and the cost make it way easier. And I was wrong about the cost later or something, because these things can be hot commodities at an auction.
They really can. And you know, you'll find cars in lots of different conditions. I mean, you'll find some that are pristine and beautiful.
And then some that are barely together.
Exactly. We talked about, you know, some people, you'll be driving down the road and you'll see some used as like a planter. You know, they've put a piece of wood in the bottom, filled it with dirt, and now it's a planter outside by their mailbox. You'll see some that are just abandoned, you know, off to nowhere. You'll see some that, you know, kids are still using, of course. And there's modern versions. There's, you know, the plastic versions, and there's, you know, like the Barbie versions that have, you know, the battery power. And that's something different. We're not
talking about big wheels.
Not so much talking about that. Not big wheels, but, you know, the kind that have a car body to them, some type of collector value, I guess, to them, because collectors do want them. I think that, you know, there's just as big a market for these things as for collectors now as there are for, you know, people buying them for kids.
Dude, funny fact, weird fact. I don't know if you ran into this in your research, but I ran into this a couple of times. Pedal cars were really big in Australia.
I didn't know that.
So big, in fact, that they have commemorative stamps for pedal cars.
No kidding. I had no idea that was going on. So I wonder why it was so big there.
I don't know. The question is open. I'd love to have one of our listeners write in and tell us, maybe even send us a stamp. I don't know.
Commemorative stamps. No kidding. That's kind of a big deal, because it takes a lot to get something put on a stamp.
You have to be kind of important.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's an interesting story. We'll have to dig into that.
Yes. Can we talk about some of the adult stuff that you can do with a pedal car?
I do, yeah. And it sounds like you're talking dirty when you say that, but
I'm sorry.
But you're not.
I'm not.
Because man,
we're a family show.
We're talking about collector car, right? I mean, mm-hmm. collectors wanting these things. Well, we found some links of pedal car restoration.
Yes.
That just blew me away.
Yes.
I mean, this is where, like, somebody went back, and one in particular that I'm looking at here, and I forwarded this link to you, Ben. Mm-hmm. What did you think when you saw the before and after photos?
I thought it might be, if I hadn't seen the photos in between, I would have thought it was a different thing.
Yeah.
Different vehicle.
Different vehicle, yeah, because
when you see what he starts with, it's amazing.
If you're interested in seeing the photos that we're talking about, and this is, again, just one example of hundreds of them mm-hmm. out there, mm-hmm. A site called garagejournal.com, and just search for My Pedal Car Restoration, and you'll see this car that this gentleman who's redoing this vehicle, he picked up the pedal car that belonged to his grandparents that he had ridden, back as a kid in 1960 or something like that. And it had been sitting outside in the rain basically for 50 years. So you can imagine the condition this thing's in. It's completely rusted.
Not pretty.
No, it's in bad shape, but it's an old fire truck or mm-hmm. a fire vehicle, I guess. It originally had some, like a ladder to it and a bell and everything. Yeah. And it's got worn out graphics and it's really rusty and beat up. Well, he brought this thing back to life in a matter of 10 days. And I mean completely back to life. And it's now blue, has brand new graphics that he bought from the original manufacturer and ordered them online or, wherever, found them through the mail. Painted it a completely different color. He did all the body work. This is cracking me up, Ben, because he did it just as you would do a car restoration.
Yeah, like a full-size car restoration.
Exactly. He did it on his benchtop. He tore everything off of it. Sanded it, primed it, painted it, the Bondo and everything mm-hmm. that goes along with that, redid it the way he wanted to do it, put a lot more paint detail into it than it originally had, because it was originally just, I think it was just one color, maybe two. It maybe had silver on the front. But he did a beautiful job with this thing, and it includes buying new tires for it and everything, mm-hmm. and just fantastic. And I can imagine that a lot of people are out there doing similar type projects, with ones that they find maybe at a garage sale mm-hmm. or at a swap meet somewhere. You may expect to pay $100 for something like that, even in poor condition. But once you bring it back to life, it's definitely worth something worth hanging on the shop wall.
And if you have a young child, they might love it.
Let me tell you, Ben, if you give something like that blue fire uh-huh. truck that he restored,
yeah.
if you give that to a kid, they will never, ever forget that for the rest of their life. They will remember that always.
Yeah, because you recall specifically the color of the steering wheel and the body of yours. Yeah,
I do. It's very, very memorable. And, I mean, like he said, he's going to let his grandkids drive it. He had initially thought, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to let them.
Yeah.
Because he was worried that they were going to do what he did to it, which was drive it downstairs.
Straight into the walls.
And, yeah, just ram into things. Like, there's that tree. I'm going to hit it again as hard as I can.
Yeah.
And that's what kids do. And he said, That was a great memory for me. I want them to have that too.
Which is really, commendable.
I think it's noble.
Noble is a great word. I've got a great word that I want to tell you. Racing.
Oh, racing. Now, you wouldn't think these go together, right?
Right, but they do. I was, some people might find this surprising. So maybe you're listening to the podcast and you're saying, guys, I don't know. I get what you're saying about nostalgia, but pedal car is not really for me. I don't want to just collect something and put it somewhere, mm-hmm. Or I don't have any kids or whatever. Well, hey, man, why don't you start racing pedal cars? We found some great information about pedal car racing.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Interrupt.
I want to tell you that when you say pedal car racing to me, hmm. I imagine like those kind of corny competitions where they have adults get on tricycles and their knees are up to their chin and they're pedaling as fast as they can and they look ridiculous.
Somewhat like an exhibition race.
Exactly, and they fall over. That's not the case here, is it?
Oh, no, sir.
So
are right.
What kind of pedal cars are these people racing?
These people, let me give you a picture here. I want you to check out this.
Oh, cool.
This is from a British association, and these folks are racing, as you can see, a variety of cars. Mm-hmm. One of them looks almost like a recumbent bike with an extra tire. But this stuff, at least in the UK, is tough, man. This is a sport that has, I'm quoting from the website here, up to 6 drivers per car and races of up to 24 hours duration.
So they do endurance racing.
They do endurance racing in pedal cars, man.
So different drivers, they switch in and out just like they would at Le Mans or something like that, only with pedal power instead of horsepower.
Yes. And so, yeah, so of course they're human-powered vehicles, and they've got the four wheels, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the typical pedal-powered things we've talked about have 2 or 3 wheels. So a lot of these vehicles, in answer to your question, are built by the teams themselves.
Okay.
And so they use their own ingenuity, their own know-how, and I'm sure a lot of trial and error to make these endurance races. I'm sorry I keep going back to it, but it's just incredible to me.
Yeah,
they race it for 24 hours.
I read a little bit about this also, and that, you know, it's the series, if you want to look for a series that you can kind of watch, mm-hmm. There's the British Pedal Car Championship Series. And mm-hmm. that's run in, I think it's over a couple of months. It's like April through September mm-hmm. in the UK. They do like 7 races. I think they said that it's a total of like 60 hours of racing is what that amounts
to.
That's
crazy.
That's
yeah.
a lot of racing. And, you know, basically, I guess if you want to boil this down to what this is, it's really a streamlined recumbent bike that they race. And the 24 hours that they race, of course, they're racing at night. They have to have headlights and taillights installed in these things as well. So there's got to be some kind of a minimal electrical system that mm-hmm. goes along. I don't know if it's battery powered or what. It must be. Or maybe pedal powered. Maybe there's a generator that, you know, attaches to the wheel or something.
Don't stop pedaling. You're in the dark.
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, but these guys, they travel and they go like 18 and a half miles an hour. That may be like the average speed. They go faster than that. That's average on this track. And they may do as much as like, you know, 1,200 laps of this track that they run on. So it's not like a kids competition. This is serious business for these adults.
Yeah, I was impressed when I was reading about this, mm-hmm. and I'd love to hear from someone who was involved in this or is involved.
Yeah. How about something serious for kids?
Yeah, let's get serious for kids.
And this may be okay, I said serious for kids. This may be serious for adults too, because I see this stuff as almost like an office fixture, like something you would put in your office at home, or maybe mm-hmm. Hanging on the garage or on your shop wall or something. There's some amazing reproductions that they're doing now with pedal cars.
And Yeah.
I'm going to start. I'll start with the Ferrari F2 car, and mm-hmm. you know, the prices of these things, you know, they go up. So the Ferrari F2 car, which is a Formula 2 car, just as it sounds, from the 1950s, you can find these. These are somewhat limited production. A few of the colors have gone out of production, but you can take a look at this one, Ben. That's about $500.
That's it?
$500, and it's a beautiful-looking little car, right?
This is the best. I've seen this picture. This is the best-looking pedal car I've ever seen.
They're awesome. They've got a real smooth body. It's again a Ferrari Formula 2 car from the 1950s, mm-hmm. early 1950s. Again, $500, that's pretty expensive for a toy, and I think that the age there, it says it's from like ages 3 to 7, so mm-hmm. don't get the idea that you can climb in this thing and have fun in your driveway, because it will break.
Or there's just not room. I did have that idea. I'm letting go of it now.
I honestly thought, you know, like, it might be fun just to, you know, cram myself into this thing and try to, you know, do one lap around my courtyard or something, mm-hmm. and then just park it somewhere. But I don't know. It looks like a lot of fun. I think this is a neat thing to have. It would be cool.
Yeah.
It'd be a cool I don't know, just a decoration, really.
It would be a cool decoration. Here's an interesting thing that I don't know if we've ever mentioned this on the show, but remember when we were, I think this was years ago, when we had moved in this office relatively recently?
Yeah.
We had that pocket Ducati.
I do.
We've never talked about that on the
air. What a great thing to have. I mean, it's just a neat thing to have in the office. I don't know why that is, but I mean, it's functional. It worked.
Somebody would break this Ferrari pedal car in the first day.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It would probably be me.
Somebody would probably
run it into a wall or
we
something.
We did have a pocket motorcycle here for a while. That was really cool. The next one I want to go on to, Ben, here, there's a couple of these, and I'll get to one that, you know, is a little more fun for you and I.
Okay.
There's a Morgan three-wheeler. So you're talking about a car that's like 100 years old.
Yeah.
You know, those old – but the crazy thing about this is, you know, they were small cars to begin with. So this pedal car for kids is actually 2/3 scale, which is kind of funny, because it's a big pedal car, but it's not that much smaller than the original car itself.
The actual vehicle.
So, I mean, it has a mock-up of an engine on the front, just like you'd expect in the Morgan three-wheeler. It's got some interesting things. It's limited to 500 vehicles, I believe. At least this article says that. Again, two-thirds scale. It's got an aluminum body, a tubular chassis. It's meant for like ages 6 to 13, which is, you know, kind of upping it a bit. So mm-hmm. It's a little bit bigger. It has three speeds, Ben. So you can, you know, it's like gearing, like almost like a bicycle would have.
Okay.
It has working lights and an adjustable seat. So, you know, again, ages 6 to 13, there's a big difference in body size there. So it has an adjustable seat. Hey, so it's got some great features.
Hey, man. You and I know each other pretty well by this point, Scott. Whenever you start naming awesome features, you're trying to butter me up for the price.
I am, because this one gets a little bit more expensive, Ben.
Okay.
Let's just put it. Before I give you the final price here.
Okay.
It was given in pounds, so I had to convert it today. I did the conversion today. I went on the site, but if you want to choose the color or if you want to choose leather interior. That's going to add $400 onto the price that I'm about to tell you.
I might as well just buy the for. Go on.
Okay, so it's going to add $400 onto it if you add leather or the, you know, a certain choice of vehicle color. It's about $4,000.
$4,000.
Yeah, that's about 2,500 pounds. So it's given in British pounds. $4,000 for this model, but
I'll tell you,
it's a gorgeous model. It's really pretty.
Yeah.
It's a neat looking vehicle, and two-thirds scale. That's a pretty big vehicle.
And the variable speed. There's some good tech on there.
You want me to show you the granddaddy of them all here for kids?
Yes.
This is for kids. Now there's a bigger one.
For kids.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a moment. But Audi makes one of the Auto Union Type C race car.
Now we had talked about the Ferrari, and I checked out the Ferrari, and I did not know. This is the first time I've heard about the Audi.
This car
is that's beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. And when you look at the detail in this thing, if you do any searches for this thing, make sure you search around and find something that shows you about 10 or 12 photos of this thing, because they give you some underbody shots of this thing and you know the way it's put together, it's almost like it's hand-built. 900 pieces go into this pedal car, Ben.
Oh, wow.
900 pieces. It'll give you an idea of the detail involved in it. It's got leather and wood inside. It's got working gauges. It's limited to about 999 units. It has 7 speeds, hydraulic brakes, disc brakes, of course.
What?
It's disc brakes.
It has disc brakes.
You know, the chain drive system. It's got, you know, like I mentioned, the leather. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful looking car. It really does look like the Auto Union Type C race car.
Yeah.
The price, Ben, here's where we go. Here.
Okay. Yeah, hit me with it.
$13,290 for the pedal car version of this, which is a bargain when you consider that the original, the real one, is valued around $10 million.
Okay. You know what? When you put it that way, it does seem like a bargain. I don't think I'm going to – I think I might still build my
own. Yeah, let me tell you, though. This is not for adults. It's for kids only. So, again, this to me – is almost like one that you would just buy as a showpiece in your office. You know, like an executive would buy this and put it next to his mahogany desk and say, look at my very fine Auto Union Type C Roadster.
If I had a child, the only way that I would give them that car is if I specifically knew that they already knew the Audi story, you know, that they know why it's so cool.
I don't know, Ben. I don't think that would do it. You'd have to have like a string on it. And if they got too close to a wall or anything, you'd have to like give that a tug.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe it is better as an office showpiece because could they really have fun with it? Could they really hit things and you know, drive downstairs?
It sounds a bit Scrooge-ish to say that, you know, you wouldn't let the kid drive it. I mean, but
yeah.
$13,290 for a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, people buy this stuff for their kids. I mean, you'll see kids in these things if you look at, you know, the promotional photos of these. Of course, they're out driving around. I don't know if it's just for the photo shoot, if they really own it or what. But I'll tell you, that it's a beautiful, beautiful pedal car. It really is.
It's a work of art,
it
honestly.
Really,
and I'm not saying that in any sort of hyperbole way.
No, it's gorgeous. And, you know, we talked about the kids.
Let's talk about ourselves. Yeah. What are we going to ride?
And this is kind of the last thing that I want to mention here, because we've gone through restorations and collectors and antiques
racing,
and all that and racing. And I think we're getting to the end here where, you know, some of the adults are saying, like, well, what about me?
Right? Yeah, what about us?
Where's my pedal car? You know, other than the recumbent bike that you can lay down in, you build a body around, it's different. Here's one that they actually call it a pedal go-kart, okay?
Oh,
so it's a little different. Looking at this thing, Ben, I got to tell you, I'm much more impressed with the small Auto Union than I am with the looks of this one. It's a Ferrari. It's got a Ferrari badge on it, but it has almost like automobile wheels, and you sit upright and you hold a steering wheel like you would in a go-kart, but you do pedal this thing. So it is a pedal cart, but it's called the FXX Exclusive BF7 Pedal Go-Kart by Berg.
And so it's just got the Ferrari badging.
It does. It's got the badge, and it's made by a company called Berg. That's BERG. Mm-hmm. And it's the FXX BF7. And again, it's a pedal go-kart. It does have some interesting features. Now, this one, it's from ages 7 to adult, so it's, you and I could ride on this
thing.
Finally,
we're in.
The weight limit is up to 350 pounds, so I'm just under that. Barely able to make that. No, I'm kidding. Thankfully, I'm whatever. 7-speed transmission, which mm-hmm. is nice.
Nice, yeah.
It has coaster pedal brakes and a rear disc brake system, so it's got a little both. Like, remember we mentioned in the Auto Union had disc brakes.
Yes.
This also has disc brakes. Steering is a double ball joint system. So, and it's got a padded, padded leather-like seat or something like that.
A leatherette seat.
Yeah, something like that. Leather look or something like that. And steering wheel. It's a bigger vehicle, but it's a vehicle, again, a four-wheel vehicle,
mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
is it? Yeah, four-wheel.
Yeah, it's four-wheel.
Four wheels. It's designed for someone our age. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. How much is it? before we say anything else.
Here we go. $2,700. So it's expensive.
Wow.
It's a pricey toy.
That is. But see, what price can you put if we already know that we're in the toy zone or whatever,
yeah.
What price can we really put on this? I think it's fair to say, you know, sometimes people will give parents a hard time about buying some toy for their kids that they think somebody else thinks is too flashy or, mm-hmm. or too much money or something. But, you know, honestly, unless they're your kids,
yeah.
unless you're paying for it, I don't think it's really fair to have a say. So I'm not going to buy this this beautiful Audi pedal car. It would be nice if it just showed up in our office.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you know what? Well, this Ferrari car that we're talking about for the adults,
yeah,
I've never seen one in real life. I mean, I would be the only person in my, you know, my neighborhood or in my city, even, I think, they would have one of these.
But then you'd be that guy, too.
I think so. I'd be that guy riding around on his go-kart.
It's a double-edged sword.
You know what? I'm not going to say go-kart because I'm going to be doing that soon. I've got my go-kart in the driveway, the powered go-kart.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that guy riding around on my pedal go-kart. How about that?
Yeah.
I would be that guy.
And you don't want to be rude. I mean, what if a kid sees it, and it's obviously a pedal car, and they say, hey, Mr. B, can I hop on?
Absolutely
can
not.
Can I take a
No way. Kid, this thing cost me $2,700. It's a Ferrari. You may observe it from a distance.
It's my Ferrari.
You may look at it from a distance that I deem acceptable. Does that sound too overbearing?
No, that sounds really warm and approachable. but
yeah, that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, but then also, for a bargain basement price, you can tell people you were the owner of a Ferrari.
That's right. Yeah, that's the only Ferrari that you can actually ride and drive in for $2,700, I would think.
Yeah, without renting one or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, there's adult pedal cars out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of what you want to call it and the way it's, I guess, classified. Because like there's a recumbent bike type that you mentioned.
Right.
There's this kind, this Ferrari kind that we mentioned
more
here.
More upright. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I guess you could come up with something on your own if you're a welder.
Yeah.
We've mentioned this many times. If you can weld, you can do anything.
Absolutely.
So make your own. Make something really cool because this one is very upright. I think if this one was like more of a lay-down version,
mm-hmm.
I would be attracted to this.
It'd be more aerodynamic.
You're sitting way up in the open in this one. If you were to sit down almost as in like a car body, because this one doesn't have that. If this is a car body, I think it would be a hit.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian.
someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we hope you guys have enjoyed our conversation here with the history, the past, the present, and the future, possibly, of pedal cars. We want to know if you are on Scott's team. Did you grow up with one? Are you on Ben's team? Do you have bittersweet memories? And if you have a pedal car, if you had one when you were a kid, are you going to pass it down to your children? We want to hear your pedal car stories. And as always, we want to see cool car-related photos. If you want to drop by our Facebook, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us a tweet on Twitter, and you can write us an email directly at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.